before you the first two verses of a hymn by the Danish hymn writer Thomas Kingo, How Fair the Church of Christ Shall Stand, and we'll sing the first two verses. Please join me in the versicles and Gloria Patri, as well as Confession of Sin on page 128. Please rise. The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your anger toward us. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault in thought, word, and deed, for the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. By the authority of God and my holy office, I declare unto you the gracious forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May he who has begun the good work of faith in you carry it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. Amen. You may be seated for our two hymn verses. You may remain seated for this evening's psalmody. We join responsively in the reading of Psalm 84. You'll find that on page 184 in the front part of your hymn book. And you can respond with the speaking of the even-numbered verses. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that in the pages of Holy Scripture you have communicated to us your great love on behalf of the work of Christ our Savior. And we pray that you would fill our hearts with an appreciation for your marvelous grace in Christ, and that you would also stir up our hearts in true and sincere Christian faith to live out this faith in our day-to-day lives, that our mouths may be set to sing your praises and share your grace with others. We ask it all in Jesus' saving name. Amen. Our scripture reading for this evening is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 29th verse. And this section of scripture is in a portion of the book to the letter to the Ephesians that deals with a variety of places by which we live out our Christian faith in our day-to-day lives. And these words certainly have a general interest for us as Christians. Tonight, I ask that you think of them in the context of the relationships in the home in particularly, and especially that between husband and wife. And so we read, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. About 8 years ago, on a documentary program that was taking a look at some of the challenges of marriage, ABC's 2020 television magazine show had decided to send out camera crews to record couples arguing. And what they had arranged with certain couples, there were about four or five of them, if I recall, was that the two of them, the husband and wife, had agreed that as soon as they would get into an argument, which apparently they were prone to do, that they would contact this local cameraman who would come and simply record their argument. And yes, it sounds rather crazy, but sure enough, They would start to get into an argument. They would stop and call this gentleman from a nearby hotel, and he would come with his cameras and would set up and then record their argument. Some of them went on for hours. And then the documentary showed us various video clips of these arguments. It was amazing, first of all, how much had to be bleeped out, but it was absolutely amazing the type of language that people could use toward one another in their marriage. The point of doing this was then to have professional counselors sit down with these couples and show them what they were doing wrong, to try to correct things, to help them improve their marriage, and so on. But it's amazing to think how someone that at one point in your life could be so important and such a blessing to you that you want to commit your life to them in marriage and potentially have a family with this individual can work you up into such a frenzy that you could express the most vicious venom and malice back to that same individual. Marriage is a very unique relationship. It has been given to us by God as a wonderful blessing, and one of the most crucial aspects of keeping unity and harmony in the home, in the Christian home, is that of communication, the aspect of just how do we talk to each other. It's extremely important. There is a secular evaluation that I use that is not designed for the church particularly, but it's one that I use for pre-married couples. And they devote probably about 25% of their time in this long evaluation to the whole subject of communication and resolving conflict. Even the non-Christian world recognizes the great significance of just how we communicate to each other. And the problem is that when it comes to how I use my mouth and my tongue, it's the easiest place for me to sin. And the reason is, words just seem to go out from us. They don't require necessarily a lot of thought always. And they can be spoken in haste with a lot of emotion and power behind them. And because they vanish into the air, they don't seem to really last that long. However, in the mind and the heart of the individual to whom they are said, they can cause great damage. Sometimes leave some pretty deep and lasting scars. In my work with married couples who have had difficulties in their marriage, I've had it happen a number of times when a person will bring up a subject that took place back when they were either dating or engaged or early on in their marriage, sometimes as long as 20 years earlier, an issue that where one of them had said something, maybe incorrectly or in anger, and even though they had apologized for it possibly hundreds of times, it still left a scar on the individual. Words can hurt. They can do greater damage to us, oftentimes even, than physical blows. Listen to what James writes about how we use our mouths and our tongues. He says, "The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." I think back just in my life, not only in my marriage, in other relationships, and even back into my childhood, and even with people that I thought were my friends, how things that I said, either directly to them and at them, in anger, or possibly about them to someone else, how often I could start a little forest fire with just a few words. It's so easy for us to do. The words of our text talk about the great destructive nature of poor communication when it is not done out of love. Listen to what Paul writes again. He says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." The word corrupt here has the idea of being perverted, not in a sexual way, but in a way that causes a cancer to form on the thing that you are saying. Let no corrupt word, he says, proceed out of your mouth. He says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." The word that he uses here on the positive side is that of edification. An edifice is a building and a structure, something that causes something to kind of be built up. And the converse is true when it comes to how we can use our tongues in a negative way, to tear down and to cause great destruction. We have a huge construction project going on our campus. Imagine if every night someone went into that new building and started to dismantle things or take the crane and swing it into the beams and the walls that are already being put up. Just how it would harm and ultimately wreck and destroy that process. The same thing can be done, Paul is saying, through our mouths, through the words that we use, in particular inside of our homes and inside of our marriages. And so this is something that God wants his faithful to be very careful as to how they use their mouths. And he says that speaking this way grieves the Holy Spirit. St. Peter even goes so far as to say it this way, that when husbands in their marriages treat their wives with disrespect and in an abusive way, that activity on their part, when it's unrepentant before God, actually hinders their prayers to the throne of God. That's how serious our personal lives are, even inside of our marriages. So God would have us keep in mind the great damage that can be caused by how we use our mouths in a very sinful way. But also how our mouths, as children of God, forgiven by Christ, can be used also in a very edifying way, to build up rather than to destroy. And Paul says, use your mouth for what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. That's a beautiful statement. How we use our voices and our tongues inside of our relationships and someday in your homes is a way that can impart the grace of God to those who listen to you. The Bible gives us a very simple phrase when it comes to how we communicate with each other. Speak the truth in love. God doesn't tell us, if there's something that you have to tell your partner that's difficult, don't say it, hide it. That's not what God says. He says, speak the truth, but do it in love. Even when you have to criticize, even when you may have to chastise, do it in such a way that the message that ultimately comes through to the person you're communicating to is one of love and tenderness. Another very important aspect of how we communicate has to do with approaching the person in humility. Remember the little parable that Jesus gives us? He says, if your brother has a speck of dust in his eye, before you go and pull that speck out of your brother's eye, pull the beam out of your own eye first. Then you will see more clearly to go and pull the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus isn't telling you there that if you see that your brother, in this case, let's say your spouse, is doing something wrong, either toward you or in general. He doesn't say, forget about it and don't try to deal with it. He says, you should pull the speck out of their eye, but first of all, pull the beam out of your own eye. And what that means is, in humble repentance, recognize that the sins you have before God are just as big, in fact, in comparison, much bigger, and in much greater need of being pulled out and repented before God to receive his grace than the sin that you're going to pluck out of your spouse's eye. It's a very important aspect of communication, that when we do come before each other in our marriages and have to talk to each other about things that are being done wrong, that we do it with a spirit of humility, not a spirit of self-righteous Phariseeism, as if somehow we are better than the other person, but in a spirit of humility, even in the same way that Christ has come to approach us. And he says, do this so that you might impart grace to the hearer. I love this last line of our text. Paul says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. That means the word there in the Greek actually means to have a heart of flesh that's soft and tender, not stony and hard and rigid. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. probably in some way, shape, or form, maybe even in your room or possibly in some jewelry or something you have, a cross, somehow something that indicates that you are a Christian. Many people in their homes have some type of symbolism to identify their home as a Christian home. And that cross has come to not only represent what your faith is about, but more importantly, what God has done for you through his Son. When our Lord Jesus went to that cross, it was to shed his holy blood so that I could stand in front of you tonight with my sinful mouth and have the Holy Spirit use that very sinful tongue that has harmed others, but to now impart God's grace to you as you hear it, and to let you know that your sins are completely forgiven, even the sins that may have caused pain and difficulty in the lives and hearts of other people. God has wiped them away. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, purifies us from all sin. And as God's forgiven children now, knowing what our Savior has done for us, the God who comes and uses his mouth to speak grace to us and to speak a future promise to us about a home that we have waiting in heaven, that same God would now have us go back into our relationships, in particular in our homes, and to use our mouths in a way that is building up and edifying toward one another. In the same way that God edifies us and builds us up eternally through his saving word. Amen. Please join me in the responsory and the collect and canticle as you find them on page 128. And let's rise for that. The responsory on the bottom. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Keep us, O Lord, as the apple of your eye. Hide us under the shadow of your wings. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. O Lord, visit this dwelling and drive far from it all snares of the enemy. Let your holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace. And may your blessing be upon us evermore through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Preserve us, O Lord, while waking, and guard us while sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Preserve us, O Lord, while waking, and guard us while sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and most merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us. Amen. And we close with the last two verses of our hymn.
God.